Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Supergirl Geeks, TV. Where we talk about things.
Wait,
hey, no.
What are you?
No.
No, this is Supergirl TV talk.
This is Beer with Geeks.
No, this is Supergirl.
I apologize. I'm drinking a beer.
No, no, but.
You
no,
can
but
tell
is,
the way I talk
no, but we're
right
here to
now,
talk about the crossover. This is your Wait.
I'm always confused.
Is, that's this, not is this a crossover?
This is did we just become crossover friends?
Oh, my God. We just did a crossover.
Yes.
Whoa.
Oh, my
All
goodness.
All right. I guess this is...
Do you know
so
what,
this is Supergirl TV Talk, the show where we talk about the CW's hit show Supergirl, and it's also...
It's also Beer with Geeks, where we talk about geek things every week.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
This and is amazing.
Wait. I see... Is that Bo York?
Hey!
Is that Flash TV Talk's own Bo York?
Bo York? What are you
Welcome
doing here, Bo York?
Panel wait. Flash TV Talk. Panel wait.
Wait. What?
Wait.
Wait. Oh, I can see.
I'm here because I heard there was a panel to screen thing. Now, Bell was supposed to be recording something for Flash TV Talk. I don't know about that.
Wait, Bell.
Hi.
Wait.
Bell?
What's he? Your co-host Bell is here?
I'm here, too.
Wow. Oh, the only thing that would make this weirder is if one of Bell's co-hosts from another podcast were here too, but that's just not going to happen. So,
no, it's
greetings and salutations. Hi.
What is Will Benson?
It's
wait,
me.
Wait.
Greetings and salutations. It's Wilbur.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. All right.
Okay. All right. There's way too many people here. I suggest that we split this up and maybe you Supergirl guys, maybe y'all could just do a show and then like we'll just kind of me and Bell will pop in for like 2 seconds. But don't worry about it because we'll just re-record that and put it on Flash TV Talk. Huh. So nobody really even needs to listen to Supergirl TV Talk.
Mm.
And then we'll just stretch it out. And then we'll, you know, for Legends TV Talk, we'll just it'll just be a jumble because we're rushed to keep everything together. And yes. How about
maybe,
that?
Maybe. Except you kind of look like my cousin.
Look, the way
Best
that I see that is that our episode was the most important because we were the mid-season finale. And so we had to be more important and then flip over somewhere else.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, Arrow was the 100th episode, so that was also kind of important.
Yeah, but there's nobody from Arrow here to back them up on
That's
that.
True. We have that we don't have any representation.
Hey now, we did Arrow TV Talk season 1 and I feel like
that's
whole
true.
Episode was like season 1?
Yeah, remember Rachel Wilson? I remember.
Oh, yeah, I remember. She was fantastic.
Oh, man, guys. It's a blast to get you guys all together. This is going to be a lot of fun. We want to talk about the crossover and kind of give all the characters some love. So why don't we start? So we started off with Supergirl on Monday.
Right. And so Supergirl we knew was the prologue coming into it. Well, we knew because we're involved in the show in some capacity.
Sure.
I'm sure a lot of people turned into Supergirl go, can't wait to watch me some heroes versus aliens. And then you're like, what is happening?
Where's Flash?
Yeah.
Where's Arrow? I don't understand. Yeah, did you guys see that too? I was seeing that a lot on Twitter. The feedback seemed to be like, where was everyone in this episode?
Yeah, full disclosure. I did not watch Supergirl live, but I did watch it immediately the next day once it was on Amazon Prime. And I was kind of sitting back. My thought was more of like, where's the aliens? Because I thought maybe Supergirl was going to tee up
the
aliens.
She is an alien.
Right. But you know, the ones, the not so pretty aliens. They were
all in the bar. They got murdered. Remember that? that was the heroes versus aliens of Supergirl.
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
Actually,
there was aliens. Yeah, there was some aliens versus heroes in that. So, so we kind of knew. We knew going in, and Andrew Kreisberg said, you know, it was for a very logistical reason. We knew it was good. They knew it was going to be her mid-season finale. It had to be that moving into the rest of the crossover. And they said, and last year it was Flash and Arrow that crossed over with some Legends sprinkled in. And so this year was some Supergirl sprinkled in with some Flash, Arrow, and Legends. And I think you have to build to something. Like you have to keep coming back for more. They threw everything at us. Like if Martian Manhunter was there and they got literally everybody that they possibly could into this episode. Like, why am I gonna, like, of course I'm gonna watch another one, but like, you need something to build on.
That's fair. That's definitely fair. And I will say, I did enjoy, I mean, I kind of felt like this was their opportunity to say, hey, everybody who's not watching Supergirl, this is our chance to kind of give you a really great Supergirl episode. And so you kind of get a sense of what the show is all about.
Yeah, that's a very fair point, because there's a lot of really good character moments in that episode that really much encapsulate the first 8 episodes of the show. So it's like, hey, guess what? Maybe if you liked the rest and you liked her for these other episodes, maybe you want to come back for after the mid-season break. Sort of mid-season.
Yeah.
Quarter season break.
Yeah.
Oh, Supergirl's on mid-season break?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was January.
That was the mid-season finale right there. Yeah, it's odd. They're a little out of sync. They started a little out of sync, too.
Yes.
But so now and the rest of the shows are having their finales this upcoming week.
This coming week.
Right. Although, I think, was that the last one? No, Legends has one more, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So the rest of them are all having their finales this coming week, yeah.
I will say, in terms of the character of Supergirl, like, man, once she progressed along the way, I loved her. I mean, like, there's something about what they established in the original Flash Supergirl crossover between the two of them. Their relationship, this kind of brother sister team up thing, is precious. I love it so much.
It's like, if I didn't, I would ship them so hard if I didn't already ship, you know,
a lot of other things.
Yeah,
you're shipped out
specifically Barry and Iris, but yeah. So Supergirl was, you know, I didn't quite get enough of her in Arrow or in Legends. But I thought she was like kind of the breakout star of the Flash episode.
Yeah, big time. Big time. When they asked her, like, how super are you, or what's so special about you? And she flew up and carved her S into the floor. I was like, oh my gosh, please stay. I want you to stay. Be in this universe and this television show forever.
Just stay, please. I know. She was, you know, I always have a little of a latent crush on her, and Tim has it's no secret on our show that Tim has a major crush on Melissa Benoist, but
well, like a regular human being.
Like a regular
being,
human sure. being would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, don't make me sound like a weirdo.
But even more so for me, this I mean, buddy, you are, never mind.
That's it's a different story.
But yeah, I for sure like was just like, I had like, I was the embodiment of the heart eyes emoji when she was showing off her powers for the rest of them there in the Hall of Justice, the freaking Hall of Justice, you guys.
Oh, yeah. The airplane hangar,
the
of
hangar
justice.
Of justice.
Yeah. It's where they hang their justice.
It's just a giant coat hook.
Home is where you hang your justice. All right. So I guess
I personally liked how in that she kind of went bad for a while, and you got to kind of see her interact with each of the other heroes in this, or well, with Barry, or really, you know, as more of an antagonist than as, you know,
I agree.
And using her powers differently than she normally does. She was a lot more aggressive. She was a lot more, you know, assertive with that. Kind of showed us what Supergirl can be, you know, as time goes on.
It's true. I personally like the training sequence more than anything.
Oh, yeah.
Like them just trying everything they possibly could to fight her. I actually loved even the lead up to that, where they like Barry's voted in charge, and like, and all of us just like, training sequence against Supergirl. Training sequence against Supergirl. And Sarah's just like, are we supposed to pretend that we can't hear him? Like, you know.
Have y'all seen Hot Fuzz?
Yes.
I totally, that entire scene when Barry is like, you know, promoted to leader, the whole thing I could think of was you know, Nicholas Angel, he's on the scene and he's like, you know, the other guy, the dopey guy who's like, quote, in charge, is like trying to figure out what he's supposed to do. And Nicholas Angel just says it and he just repeats what he says. Yeah. And he's like, yep, hold on off the area. Yep, very good.
yep, exactly right. The greater good.
The greater good.
So good.
Yeah, I think that I think all of that is strong. I really liked her. I really liked this established dynamic, I guess, between all of, like, these are the figureheads of their shows, you know. So there's like this, you have this new DC TV Trinity with Arrow, Supergirl, and Flash, right?
Right.
Yeah.
wait. What is Legends?
I'm gonna get there. Well,
we're still trying to figure that out.
When Superman and Wonder Woman love each other very much and have a redheaded stepchild,
they create a Batman. No, I think there's the regular DC trinity of Wonder Woman, Batman, and Superman,
right?
And so we've created this new parallel version with Flash, Green Arrow, and Supergirl. But I think Ray and Sarah are the figureheads of their respective shows, because I think they had more to do across the board that like in every episode, especially Sarah. I think if you really had to pinpoint another one, it's Sarah.
Yeah. Sarah had like, they were kind of stepped her up this crossover and really gave her a lot to do.
In terms of the other shows, the sidekicks of the other shows that really kind of carried through the entire crossover, you had Cisco and Felicity. And I think that's it. You know, that's not necessarily a figurehead of the show.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I would agree.
Professor Stein, yes, Firestorm. Let's talk about it. So that was Supergirl. Let's move on to the Flash and talk about characters from the Flash. And so let's start with Cisco, actually, since we're kind of talking about these tertiary characters anyway. Cisco and Felicity, along with her, are major players in this.
Yeah.
And Cisco, especially, is a major mopey player in this.
Sadsco, as I like to call him.
Yeah, Sadsco, yes. Right.
Yeah, look, I get the criticism of I think we even mentioned on Flash TV Talk, nobody likes to see mom and dad fight, right? So like there's this sense of wherever Cisco and Barry are not getting along, that it's less fun for the viewer because they want to pull for the team. I think the drama that they've had between them is definitely fair. And I think that, the tension that's been between them has been fair, and everything I was down with up until the Legends section of the crossover, where all of a sudden Cisco has this major 180 character move where it's like, ooh, time travel, fun. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to miss out on this. And it's like, dude, this does not make sense for Cisco right now with what he has just experienced and the grudges that he is holding to be this excited for time travel. Now, obviously, they used it to kind of resolve that relationship, but it seemed insanely forced to bring him to that place out of nowhere, in my opinion.
I agree to a point, but I think it is, regardless of how depressed somebody is or mad or angry, when something so radical and fun comes your way, it's almost impossible, especially for somebody like Cisco, to be like, nah, I'm not feeling time travel today or whatever.
Yeah, but I know what Bo's saying, because if he had been less mopey throughout, then I'd be fine with him being like, oh my god, OMG, time travel. But him being all like, no, everything's terrible, and then like immediately be like, everything's terrible except time travel, though, right? Like that. Well, that it seems sudden. It seems sudden.
Well, it seemed to me, though, that throughout the episodes, he was only mopey with Barry. Like when he would go off and talk to Felicity, he was more Cisco-ish. He was making jokes. In the Arrow episode, he's walking through Arrow Cave, and he's like, when they named that girl, whatever they named her, you know, he's like, oh, I'm liking you guys. You know, he had more pep in his step when it was being around Barry, I think, that caused him all of that angst and, you know, to go all millennial on us. And I think the minute he got in the time ship, you know, again, he was more like old Cisco.
Well, he first met when they jumped to Supergirl Earth 38.
Because Superman first came out in 1938. That was a fun Easter egg.
Oh,
there we go. Nice. Well, because when they first jumped over there to go pick her up, when Barry introduced Cisco to Supergirl, he said, this is my friend Cisco. And he's like, hold up on the friend bit, I'm its coworker.
That's right.
It still came off as like happy Cisco.
That's right. In Supergirl, it did. Out of context, it did.
Yeah. And that was interesting to me. But and there was a little bit of mopey Cisco, though. I think it was on Arrow when they talk about which character is it who was dropping the movie references, talking about Oliver and Company.
He was talking to Mr. Terrific.
Mr. Terrific. There we go. And that seemed to be a little bit mopey Cisco as well. But yeah, he did have a 180, though, when he was talking, when they gave the name to Metal Woman with laser eyes.
Cyberwoman or what was
Cyber
it?
Cyberwoman. There we go.
Wow.
Comics, I did not recognize her.
No, I didn't either. No. I think she was a, throwaway Electro Woman reference. I have no idea.
No, what it actually made me think of, it made me think of Superman 3 the end where the woman gets turned into like a weird, creepy cyborg.
Yeah.
That's what it made me think of.
Interesting, yeah.
Which used to actually give me nightmares as a kid. So yes. That movie gave me nightmares for two different warring reasons, I think. Yeah.
What do we all think about Barry specifically throughout the crossover? He was kind of the leader, even though he was really the puppet leader, taking orders from Oliver, getting suggestions from Oliver, but he was kind of the glue, you know, that held this all together, because he's the one that pulled in Kara and pulled everyone in, really, ultimately. So as the glue, and you know, you guys specifically being the Flash TV Talk guys, you know, what did you think of Barry sort of tying everything together?
I thought Barry pulled an HR. He was an ideas guy, right? Because you know, we mentioned earlier that he was kind of a pseudo leader. He pulled everybody together, sure, and like, you know, that was his idea to get all heroes together. But he didn't know what to do as a leader. He was promoted to that position kind of unprepared, and so that was kind of interesting to see him. I thought he might, you know, accept the role and take it and roll with it, but he seemed a little less prepared than I would have hoped.
Well, you know, to me, it kind of plays with the relationship between Barry and Oliver, right? Because, you know, you're right. He is the ideas guy. He's like, hey, I got an idea. They've got a bunch of superpowered aliens. Well, we've got a bunch of superpowered people. We should get all together and make this happen. Mm-hmm. But I think in his mind, he was thinking, and then Oliver's going to come in and, save the day and tell us all what to do, which, yeah, granted, he kind of did. But on Oliver's side, he's thinking, look, these things that are happening, this isn't urban warfare. This isn't me beating up criminals in the streets anymore. This is way beyond me. And Barry really kind of needs to man up a little bit here, right? Like, yep. It's done. He's been kind of the little brother running behind his big brother for some time. But, you know, now big brother has his own stuff that's going on. And by the way, little brother has superpowers. So maybe little brother should be leading the superpower charge.
Mm. He needs to metahuman up.
Boom. There you go.
Very good.
Boom.
Yeah.
I think
Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah. Okay. I think Oliver also has experience building and training teams. Like, that's what Arrow Season 5 is great. That's what Arrow Season 5 is all about.
Right.
And Barry is like, the only person that he's had to train is like barely Jesse Quick and like very, and barely even less than that, Wally. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's just, so that's out of his wheelhouse completely.
Yeah, his team kind of formed around him. They came kind of to him organically, whereas Oliver is forming a team right now.
But Oliver is also a grumpy pants.
That's right.
And is more likely to piss people off. Mm-hmm. And so Barry is a source of inspiration in a way that Oliver is never going to be.
He's much more affable, friendly, likable in ways that Oliver isn't necessarily.
Yeah, Barry's a people pleaser.
He's Superman. It's the same dynamic they have in the league. He's like Superman. Superman may be the leader, the figurehead leader, and the guy standing out front and answering the questions. But usually when it gets down to it, Batman's like, Lantern, go shoot that. Arrow, go and shoot that. I'll be standing here and Clark, go do something. You know,
I agree.
He's the leader.
The strategist does not need to be the figurehead leader of the team. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. That's 100% correct.
Well, and so the thing, of course, that kind of held Barry back was that this was his big moment for the entire DC universe to be aware of what he did with Flashpoint.
That's right.
And to really kind of hold him accountable. And, you know, one thing I think that we've been talking about this season on Flash TV Talk is that, you know, Barry has not had an opportunity to really feel the weight of his actions. You know, even when he was in Flashpoint, he's kind of bebopping around up until it was like, nope, 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 this is too tough. I'm going to go back and reset. And then he resets it and then everything's rough. And then he's like, sorry about your brother, brah. Like, he's just, he's been very kind of easygoing about it. And this was a good opportunity for everyone to stare him down and be like, you did what? Now, that being said, there's a lot of hypocrisy in that group that was staring him down, looking at the Legends folks with this whole time travel. And like, you know, as we got further along into the crossover near the end with everything that happened in the end, I was like, all right, Barry, you need to step up and be like, when they suggest, oh, we'll just go back in time and get this guy, be like, no, don't you dare. Don't you dare. 2 nights ago have this whole meeting where you're all looking at me mad at me for going back in time. And we're going to fix this situation by going back in time. No, sir.
I kind of wanted Barry to do that exact thing and be like, whoa, hold on. You guys are mad at me for time travel, messing up everything. And then you're just going to say, go back to 1951 and kidnap an alien. That's a great idea. Sure. Nothing bad could possibly happen from that. But yeah, no. He was like, yeah, sure. Whatever. Time travel works for me.
I think Oliver's reaction is actually the most genuine out of everybody's. Like, there is no hypocrisy from him, you know, and like Kara, it doesn't actually really affect her, right? You know, like, it's not her universe.
Let's get off her timeline.
Yeah, she's like, whatever, nothing changed that. Nothing changed for me. Hooray. Or boo, who's to say? But, you know, like, this is the first time Flash has even, like, told Dig that something different has happened to his world, which I think Dig handles it really well, considering, because that's a weird, like, who do you turn to in that? Like, so the gender of my child is different.
Mm-hmm. Like, this child that I used to have is gone right now.
He and Martin Stein should have a conversation more than anything.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. You guys talked about this a little bit on Flash TV Talk this week about, you know, the how he took that and how someone would take that, if it were, you know, if it were you. And I agree with you, Tim. I think that he took it kind of pretty, like, in stride for the most part. Like, mm-hmm. he was taken aback at once, but he kind of, you know, he forgave Barry relatively easily when you think about the seriousness.
As with, Dig takes a lot of things in stride, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that's just in his nature.
It's his personality.
Right. But I like Oliver's reaction with, you know, I would have done the same thing, and you absolutely know I would have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. Rose before Flashpoint, you know.
Well, I think with Dig's reaction, too, I mean, part of that was, I mean, the thing about character with Dig that they've been doing this whole time, anytime they do a crossover with Flash or whatever, now with Supergirl, his response is kind of always like, I don't know what's happening here. So when somebody comes up to him and says, no, I went back in time and changed the gender of your child, I don't think he actually gets it.
No, he said very specifically, he said, you're telling me I had a daughter, Barry? Like, the way he delivered the line, like, that still, like, resonates with me. And y'all are right. He took it in stride, and you know, I feel like Barry got off easy on that one.
Mm, I agree.
And the only reason I'm kind of okay with it is because, admittedly, I'm kind of sick of that, you know, the guilt of the entire universe being on him. So I am kind of ready to move past that. But I will say, he got off really easy.
Yeah. Here's my question. Did Diggle know what happened to Cisco before he told, before Barry told Diggle that he had a daughter?
I don't think so.
Okay. Because that would be my question, is if he knew that Cisco's brother was basically killed because of Flashpoint, maybe that would be easier for him to accept that his daughter's gender was changed.
That's true. And not that
she was killed or something. Yeah. He still has the kid. So it's not, you know, but if that didn't happen, then he took it pretty good. Pretty well.
There you go. Yeah. I wasn't going to say anything until you fixed it.
Man, that was good. Took it well.
You had to fix it, Phil. You had to fix it.
We would fix it in post if not.
Just like, well, he would take it well. So there's a little bit of Wally and Joe and Iris all in this episode for the Flash characters. So let's talk about them for a second. I want to say, in some scenes, Wally's arms are so ridiculously long, I don't know what to do with myself. He looks slightly, he's a good actor, and his American accent is great because he's British, and you would never really,
I did not know that.
Yeah, see, you would never know. He's really good. I really like him, but sometimes he's so gangly, and it's like.
He's actually also Plastic Man. Did you know?
I was going to say the same thing.
I've never said before. I just needed to get it out there, you know.
It's a safe space.
He's a teenager. That's part of it, man.
He's a runner. It's fine.
Into your arm.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, do you buy into that thread of, you know, it's been on previous episodes and you guys have talked about it before. So, you know, like, the protection of Froer, Wally, and everything like that. Personally, I liked it in this because it allowed him to be a little heroic in his Flash episode. It progresses his character forward, which is also great. But at the same time, wait until next year's crossover for me to see Wally in a costume. You know, I don't want to see that right now.
I felt like when we were on the Flash episode, Wally didn't have a costume. I did think he should have. And I think also that Cisco should have gone full out costume as well.
Oh,
I thought he was going to when he opened the box and there was I thought he was going to. I was ready for it.
Like, it bugged me but it didn't fully bother me until we got over to Arrow. And like, I'm seeing a bunch of guys, cause I'm not watching, I'm not up to date with Arrow. So all of a sudden, like I'm seeing a bunch of dude, like a guy wrapped around like a mummy. And then another guy,
Ragman. And yep.
The cat on his jacket.
Wild and dog. Like, a cat. I think you need here. To look at the difference between cats and dogs. Just
wild dog's dog has never looked like a real dog. It always looks kind of,
no, it's
you know,
wild looking.
Yeah, that is true. But yeah. Regardless, yeah, and you know, Kamel in the chat saying Ragman. I know who these characters are. But my point is that they're all like rocking costumes, and I'm like, well, why do these Arrow newbies get costumes, but our longtime you know heroes over on Flash don't get to deck out for the big crossover?
I can answer that because I am up to date. So they're all independent vigilantes at the start of season 5. They're not independent.
Throw your costumes on now. Right. That's what we're going for.
No, that was not what we were going for.
I greatly apologize.
Yeah.
Well, you can't take me anywhere.
Yeah. So I just lost my train of thought. So it's not like they're not involved in Oliver's world the way that, say, like, well, even Wally is. But I was going to say something like the Atom is or something like that, or even Speedy or Arsenal, or they're not. Their stories were independent moving into season 5. So right. they put on that costume themselves. And would you call Wild Dog's outfit really a costume? He's wearing a jersey with a hockey mask. You know,
hockey mask. He's doing that old, you know, what's his
Casey
face
Jones thing?
Ninja Turtles. Yeah,
yeah,
Casey Jones thing.
Jones. Yeah, with guns instead of hockey sticks. Yeah,
like the hockey hooligans from Dogma.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what
so
I picked
good.
Up on.
Now, but what's, I mean, so like, it doesn't matter if they're wearing characters or not. And the only one to get that like character arc progression is Curtis, Mr. Terrific, and he's been working on that since last season.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
All right. Yeah.
By the way, that guy's the fastest grader in the world.
What? Oh, he's so fast. It's amazing. His true superpower.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's got to be his actual superpower, is the ability to braid his hair in like a split second.
It's got
to
be like a machine that like Felicity was just like, oh, yeah, it braids your hair in like 2 seconds. Like, Felicity, you could make millions of millions and millions of pennies off of this.
Yeah. Just one of the many rejected inventions over there at Smoke Industries.
Yeah, right.
Smoke Technology, whatever it was.
Yeah. But let's talk about Arrow 100 then, because this was I think it was Bo that said it's like, remember all those things in season 1, but it was really more like, remember all those things in seasons 1 and 2.
Yeah,
that was really what I, because it was a lot of Moira right. And you know, Mr. Queen starts with
Robert.
Thank you. I was going to say Roger.
They bring him back. Why couldn't they bring it back for Flashpoint? I'm still holding out hope that one day we get an alternate Robert Queen who's the Arrow. I know we got that on Earth 2, like as a cameo.
Yep.
But like, I want a storyline there. I think that,
you know, I mean, he's around and the guy's in good shape. I don't see, you know, just throw him in Oliver's old costume. If it fits Dig, it's probably going to fit Robert Queen. And just like, even if it's like a picture in the newspaper in the background, that would be fun too. Just so you kind of know it's him.
I want a story. That's what I want. And they can do
well,
it.
Well, you have to catch up on Arrow first.
Deal. Right. If that's what it is, I will go Olicity all out for 2 years. If that's what it takes.
Wow. That's big.
That's a commitment. It's good. It's a commitment that Olicity did not finish. Wow, spoiler. So, personally, I'm digging in. I thought it was a really well acted, really thoughtful piece for 100 years, because it could have
100
episodes.
Dear God, no.
Oh, goodness. It could have felt like a clip show.
Yeah. Yes.
It did.
You think it did?
It did. It felt like a 100th, you know, anniversary issue of a comic, which, you know, I think they said in an interview they were going for. It had that same kind of anniversary type idea. Even showing Tommy at the end was I miss him.
That I agree with. Like, I think like it did feel like that, like if that's what they were going for, but it didn't feel like, you know, the cast of Friends sitting on the couch going, remember that time? And then that would have been it, you know, like sitting in the Arrow cave going,
oh, yeah.
Do you remember that time that I like killed a bunch of people when I was just the Arrow? Like, you know, good times.
Remember when I was the Hood and I just, you know, didn't
murdered
care.
People, right. You know?
Yeah. Remember when I told Malcolm Merlyn that the name Green Arrow was stupid? Yeah. What a good Easter egg that was. Yeah. You know, so I'm glad it was they brought in everybody that they could. There was some real emotional weight for Oliver and for Thea and for Sarah. Yeah. I loved the reason that they took Ray and Sarah too, you know, like they took the cast of Arrow because they're non-powered. Dominators took them because they're non-powered and they wanted to, you know, scope out some information on the metahumans because they could hold, they knew they could hold them.
Yep.
That's a really, it's a really smart way to get into Arrow's 100th episode.
I got to tell you, I did not know going into this that this was Arrow's, like I didn't have the foreknowledge that we were about to get Arrow 100.
Okay.
And I would actually say that, you know, that this of all the episodes in the crossover, if you even I don't know that I fully consider Supergirl as part of the crossover because it was more of just like, you know,
just the prologue.
It was a prologue.
And her, and so that scene was also in Flash. So it's like really hard to, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's one of these things that if you look at the actual crossover as, you know, the story itself being, you know, Flash through Legends, I felt like Arrow was a major sucking the energy out of the room. Because it's like, you know, wait, alien invasion, and now we're going to go into the Matrix and get this kind of, yeah, I mean, it's fun seeing all these people, but all it does is make me kind of miss those people and those storylines. It doesn't necessarily get me excited for Arrow, and it certainly doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the Dominators, which if this is supposed to be like this epic crossover event, what's going on there?
Yeah. I would even say Deathstroke? A lot
of happened. Yeah, right. But I would even say that a lot of what happened in Legends with it being so rushed to wrap up, is kind of, it seems like we traded a lot of time here with, you know, doing what we had to in terms of Supergirl being its finale and, or I'm sorry, mid-season finale and Arrow being its 100 episode. We really only had two episodes that we had to cramp episode story into.
I actually 100% agree with that. Even though I really loved that Arrow 100 episode, I enjoyed it as Arrow 100 and not as the second part of the crossover. It definitely felt like a placeholder in between. But I also liked it as an opportunity to showcase these other vigilantes as part of the team with Flash and Supergirl.
Yeah.
Like, give us something to do. We can, like, where Justice League International, or, you know, where Justice League Brazil or
Antarctica.
Yeah.
I feel like it did take kind of a serious downturn in momentum in that episode. Like Flash really kicked things up and I was all excited for the next night. And then it just sort of like went, let's slow it down a little bit. And then Legends kind of ramped way back up again. And almost too much happening too fast and shifting away from characters. Like the pacing was way off for me after the Flash. Like Arrow and Legends, I felt like the pacing was way too slow in Arrow and then way too fast in Legends.
I agree with that.
It needed to be more even keeled throughout, I thought.
I agree. I think everybody kind of agrees with that, right?
It's like when you're fast forwarding on your DVR and you accidentally, like, you're trying to hit play and you can't. You fast forward to like the first 15 minutes of the episode.
Yes.
And you're like, ah, whatever. I'll just continue to watch from here because I don't want to like do the whole rewind and fast forward thing again.
Every time. Yeah. Literally every time I watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That is,
I don't care enough. Whatever.
It's, they're doing things. Oh, I see fire. Play. Ghost Rider.
Someone else is Hydra now. I don't know.
Yeah. See, now that's interesting because that's what I do when I watch Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh, he went.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Wow.
They have Ghost Rider and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now. That's awesome, though, right?
It's actually really, it's really good.
I've been watching a couple episodes, and I need to get caught up. But yeah, I've enjoyed it thus far.
I haven't enjoyed it this much since like exactly post Winter Soldier. Like that So anyway, not the show.
Wrong universe, guys.
Yeah. Get out of here. Wow. Get back in your blue hole.
Come on. Yeah. Go back to Marvel. Marvel's a different thing. This is almost like when Kara said Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
That kind of bothered me.
Yeah. It's wrong. Like, Hang on.
With that Earth's Mightiest thing, it kind of reminded me back when Smallville did Justice. Yeah. At the very tail end of that episode, the then Felicity character of
Chloe.
Turned to Clark and said, "You sure do have some amazing friends." And I was like, "Wait, no, he has super friends."
Yeah, Spider-Man missed opportunity.
I don't know if it's like, is there some sort of like memo somewhere that says like, take a dig at Marvel?
Oh yeah, well I mean like, Marvel takes digs at DC too. So not referencing them, yeah. They ghost DC.
They take the high road.
Yeah. And so, I mean, so it's just, I think it's just fun play across the way. But I think there's so many like titles and catchphrases and all these things in one universe. Like, you don't need to say somebody else's publication's thing.
Right.
You know,
I don't know. They could have said World's Finest to me.
That's what I would have liked, mm-hmm. Will. Yeah.
You know,
yeah. That's what I would have liked.
Or Supergirl like catches, you know, Green Arrow as he's falling off the building. It's like Excelsior.
That would have been amazing. I did like that catch, actually. I liked their back and forth. He's like, look, I need some normalcy. Mm. And like, you're almost there, but not quite. And I need you to step away. / I'm going to apologize because you saved my life.
That's okay. So is that normal? Like, does Supergirl take that kind of stuff over on her Earth?
I mean, she doesn't have an Oliver on her Earth to push her away like that. The closest would be Hank, maybe, but he's not really like that anymore.
But Hank's also... No, he's on her. Hank is evil. Jean,
sorry.
Get it right.
Jean was sort of keeping her at arm's length, but now he's welcomed her in more, so it's not really like that anymore.
Yeah, there's not.
She doesn't have to deal with that really on her Earth.
She even says like they're only two heroes, like big heroes, and Supergirl and Superman.
Yeah,
like that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
After the city reference in Supergirl earlier this season, everybody's like, see, there's a Batman. And she went out of her way to say, no Batman.
No,
because there's a Gotham doesn't mean there's a Batman.
There's a Gotham and there's a vigilante with the demons and gadgets that Superman has worked with. But like,
right. Well,
but like, well, and so like you put your hands together and you're like, yeah, I get what you're doing. But like, but that character, whether it be Batman or not, I mean, it could be the Question for all we know. It doesn't matter. Well, the point is,
I don't think I want it to be Batwoman personally.
I want it to be Batwoman. I think that would be.
I don't think they can.
I don't know. I think they. I think
it wasn't that the rule of like there was a lawsuit when the they wanted to release the Blu-ray of Batman 66. I do believe that's why Gotham is on Fox. Is that Fox owned Batman 66?
Kind of familiar.
Yes, but I don't know if that's. I don't know if that rule applies the same way, say, like Fox and the X-Men, where any X-Men created after X date doesn't actually factor into the deal anymore. And Batwoman,
well, Batwoman was before 66.
Well, right, but her Kathy Kane was, but Kate Kane is the same character, but it's like different Kate enough that you might be able to get away with it.
Yeah.
I agree. It's like one of those things. It's like, I wish we could have Batman.
You know, I honestly don't like Green Arrow fills that part for me. Batman's in the movies. I'd rather have more characters, you know, because I know I'm always going to get Batman stuff. I will always get Batman stuff. I have video games and books and movies and cartoons and all this stuff, but I don't have that stuff for Supergirl or for Arrow or for the Flash or for the Legends or anything like that. I appreciate all of this instead. I like it more in that way.
I'm with you. I agree.
You turned me over.
Logic. Yeah.
All right. I guess does that bring us up to Legends now?
Yeah. Let's go over some legends.
Go over some of the legends. See you later, Dominator, says Kamel in the chat.
Wow. Yeah. So in this conversation, you know, like I was thinking that while everyone was talking, I was thinking that. So Thea makes this reference about like they call themselves the Legends. And she's like, like pompous or but it works, like or whatever it is. But it's catchy. It just occurred to me now, like we know Legends of Tomorrow comes from a comic book title. That's where the name comes from. And sure. So it could come off as a little comic booky, but because they're going through time, like they could be, they're like, you know, like the legends of history. Like, oh, we heard this story. We don't know if it's true or not.
Like a myth.
Like they're the myths of history, but it's like, so they're like legends in that way.
Right.
It's not so much like heroes live, you know, like heroes die, but legends live forever, kid. Right, you know, right. Like Babe Ruth ghost from the Sandlot.
Just like we're the legends of podcasting.
Babe Ruth's ghost from the Sandlot.
That's good. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, though? Like,
you're absolutely.
Heroes are remembered. Heroes are remembered, but legends never die. Remember that, kid.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, Rip lied to them about that. The only reason he selected them is because they made no difference in history whatsoever. So they're not like they have no impact on the rest of time.
Well,
now Stein has a daughter.
They're changing.
Before they kill the Time Masters, which right. you know who they didn't yeah. see that coming.
Too
they
much. Like, but even with Flashpoint now, like all of that doesn't none of that is real anymore. You know, so like some of it could be or it couldn't be,
they themselves are unimpacted by Flashpoint, right? Like, I mean, that's still the understanding of.
I think that's the case.
Yeah, because Stein's
daughter was a result of his own aberration, right?
Right.
When he and his wife took a trip to Pound Town.
Right. Yes. So
I was like, can they say that on
sure,
TV?
Sure can.
Yes, they can.
Look, if Gossip Girl can exist on the CW, they can say Pound Town.
Pound Town? You know? I don't know. Whatever. I guess we're saying it on our podcast now, so there you go.
Yeah.
Welcome to Pound Town TV Talk.
Even the conversation with Arrow and Sarah right at the Arrow and Oliver and Sarah right at the end where, you know, like this was nice. It all started with us. I don't think I've ever thought about that before. Like certainly Arrow, but like she is the second costumed heroed vigilante in that universe.
You're right.
Yeah.
It's the Canary.
Oh, see, I took that in a different
way. That's not true, though. Huntress was technically before her in terms of costume.
But Huntress isn't a hero in that show.
No, she
goes
to
jail. She
was a vigilante in as much as Oliver was.
Yeah, like, but he's transcended beyond that, and so has Sarah. Because they've all killed people. That's not in question. But they're the ones that have continued this.
Wait, hang on now. Who is Flash killed?
No, I'm talking about Arrow and Sarah and Huntress.
Season two.
Yeah, he killed a lot of people at the beginning of season two. Definitely.
But I think it was more meant of if we didn't sneak off.
That's right.
And get together and, you know, start to have a lover's hideaway. None of this would happen.
That's how I took it, too, because right after she said, you know, if it wasn't for us, this wouldn't happen. She says, if we had never gotten on that boat.
Oh, yeah. See, I you know, that what you said actually makes more sense. But I did think it was like we were the first to. Standing in this room of heroes and all these shows, we were the first two. Right, like, we were the big ones. We were the most important ones.
The first two out of this group.
Yeah.
I don't feel like they earned that. I don't feel like they earned that moment. I think, like, overall, you know, and maybe I'm kind of maybe jumping a little bit too far ahead here. But, I mean, overall, I feel like the crossover was really – it fell pretty flat for me. Like, I was really hyped for this thing. I was looking forward to it. And I loved the Flash episode because I felt like the Flash episode set up a lot of action. I was a little let down because Supergirl was really more of a prelude as opposed to actually being part of it. Arrow sucked all the energy out. Legends felt extremely rushed and characters were acting out of character. Like I said, maybe I'm jumping ahead here. But guys, overall, this crossover event was kind of a net fail for me.
Wow.
I think you're a net fail.
Yeah.
Internet fail.
Someone get the net. Get this failure out of here.
Look, maybe net fail's too strong. What I mean is that it was clearly, I mean, it was a bold move on their part to try to do something very extremely ambitious, but I just feel like it got really jumbled. And so like when it comes to the big moment of like, you know, looking back over the history of DC TV, like, I don't feel they earned that moment. I don't think that this is the crossover. This is the event that you get to do that moment because I just feel like it all came across as pretty jumbled and a nice try and attaboy and we'll get them next time. That's, I walk away from the crossover like that. Net fail, probably too strong. So I apologize.
Is this the crossover that we needed, but not the one we deserved?
Neither.
I'm with Bo on this one, guys. I think that it did fall a little bit short for me. I think that it was hyped up really well and promoted really well. And I was really excited going into it. Maybe they raised my expectations beyond what they were able to deliver. Net fail might be a little strong, but it's not. Entirely too strong. It's only slightly too strong, I think, because, you know, if I look at episodes I enjoyed of the four episodes, I'm going to include Supergirl in here just to be kind of circumspect about this thing.
Completist.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. So Supergirl, I would give a thumbs up. Arrow, I'd give a thumbs up. Flash, I'd give a thumbs up. Arrow, I'd give sort of a middle thumb and Legends, I would honestly give kind of a thumbs down because it felt like they were sort of phoning it in and cutting to the chase a little too much.
Like that scene in Legends of, you know, this was kind of in the same vein of that, you know, it all started with us, but of Barry and Arrow getting a beer together, you know, that was one thing, a very rushed scene. And on the other hand, to be like, you know, if I was in that bar with him, be like, guys, What just happened here?
Why is this random guy getting a beer with the mayor of Star City? What's going on here?
He can have friends.
Even beyond that, I mean, I got to tell you guys, we podcast on this stuff. We overanalyze the Flash and DC television like to the nth degree. And when it was all said and done, I was still like, wait, what? Like literally, what just can happened? Somebody sit down and explain to me what just happened? Like,
That's the difference for me. Whereas, like, we do that for Supergirl, but like our episode was the mid-season finale. So then I watched Flash, Arrow, and Legends, and went, I'm just going to enjoy this for what it is. This is a really hard thing to accomplish. There was a lot of balls juggling in the air, especially since Arrow 100 fit right in the middle of this, literally in the middle. And then on top of that, you're still working on a TV budget, actors' schedules, you know, like, there's like so much going on. I was really impressed. I don't feel like anybody's characterization was so wildly off or different that I was like, that's something Commander Steel would never do, or Citizen Steel would never do.
I think the characters were all pretty much nailed. I think the characters were nailed. I think it's just the pacing of the story was up and down, for me. And
I agree with, but I'm also
that's my gripe. The story
I agree
pacing.
With. But I'm still like, I'm watching a television show and I understand like the needs to fit, like it's a crossover, but it's like it's a crossover where it's going to have to matter for a few different reasons. And it's not just like, you know, Sleepy Hollow was on Bones. Hooray. You know, or, you know, Matlock and Murder, She Wrote, Matt, you know.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though.
Listen, Matlock and Diagnosis Murder crossover was a delight. I tell you, a delight.
I know, but they didn't know each other after that. That's the point. Like, there's got to be
like a Golden Girls Empty Nest episode.
Yes.
Yes.
I think for me, I don't want to call it a net fail, and I don't want to call it like really great. I think what they could have done differently with Arrow to keep it momentum going was that B story involving the other Arrow team members. We could have lived without them. And they could have actually moved some of what they tried to do in Legends. Maybe Martin Stein and his daughter or something else and moved that there. That would have kept momentum going so that in the last episode you have this big battle where everything's already set up. They kind of had to re-put things in position after Arrow.
True, but that's doing those actors and characters for people who do like those characters a disservice because I like Curtis, damn it.
I like Rack Curtis, but Wild Dog like is Curtis. Way off.
Yeah, it's not my style of character, but that's not important right now. What's the cockpit? It's the place where the pilot flies the plane, but that's not important right now. if Iris, Wally, and Joe can have stuff to do on the Flash, then you need to give Team Arrow something to do on Arrow. Like, no question. That's just fairness. And then you need to give Vixen, Heatwave, and Citizen Steel something to do in Legends. Because,
okay, I agree with that.
You know, like, those are still their shows.
But couldn't they have they could have interwoven, I think, Stein, like, found a way, instead of using Cisco, who's everywhere all the time, they could have woven.
Every episode, right?
Yeah. They could have woven a legend into that to kind of move that story along so that the pacing was right. Because what happened was at Legends, you had, you know, what was it, 47 minutes to get through, you know, and everybody is just getting back to Earth from being stolen and, you know, having a acid trip with, you know, dominatrixes. You know, I mean, it seemed a little, you know, I can understand it. But I mean, overall, I loved the whole thing, even though Legends was a bit of a letdown and it was kind of like, oh, they stung us. Ow, we need to leave now. You know, it mm-hmm. felt anticlimactic.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
overall, I liked the idea of what they were doing here. I'd love to see them do more.
Me too.
Here's the thing. It needed space to breathe. And the frustrating thing is it had the space. And that's really where I feel like it was kind of a bit of a letdown there. And the other thing too is I think, Tim, you mentioned that, you know, it is television. It is television, and there's some, you know, obvious needed necessities with that. And that's, to some extent, that's fair. However, we also live in a day and age. We live in a post Daredevil Netflix world, right? You know, if you think of like an arc where you actually have four episodes, hour long episodes, and what we've been able to see in Netflix series and what they're able to accomplish there. Like, this is it. And you talk about this huge budget. I mean, the special effects, we didn't even touch on this, but the special effects for the most part were incredible.
Phenomenal. So good. Amazing.
Very good.
Yeah, I agree.
And so you have all of this money, you have all of this time, you have all of these properties. And it seems like, and I don't know, and you know, whoever, it may be more of a marketing mindset or whatever, but it almost seems like, oh, we need to sell people on Supergirl, so let's give them a really good Supergirl episode. And oh, we need to bring back the Arrow viewers who are now Flash viewers, let's remind them of how great Arrow is, and then we just jam the story that we actually want to tell into like whatever time's remaining. And it's a hodgepodge, it really is.
No, and to some extent I agree with that, but Netflix, the way Netflix makes shows is not the way that network TV can make shows.
Yeah, I was gonna say that.
This is a hard conversation for like for us, because we're fans from outside the show too.
Yeah.
And so it's a little different. Like, but if I like it to a regular viewer, just a non-comic book fan, like, hey, I watch Flash or whatever, and you had an entire episode where Barry, without his costume, just talked to Joe and Iris and Wally and Cisco and Caitlin and whatever else, but like there was no action. It's just character development. It's just them talking. You cannot sell that to a network. It will not fly. It will not fly to the general viewer. Most general viewers. Netflix has the ability to draw out a story in a way that network TV can't.
I don't think so, man. I mean, like I said, like, granted, you're right. There's kind of a stretch of episodes that go like back to back. I'm saying that if network television was to have the ability to do what Netflix does, this was it. Like, this was where you had the time.
I understand.
And the budget. And so, like, you know, if you wanted to do that, it could happen, but it has to flow together. And it didn't flow together here.
I think the problem is, too, is let's not forget, I mean, Netflix and HBO and all these other premium shows, they're dealing with 10-episode seasons. The problem I think that we're seeing with all the DC shows going all the way around the board is they're trying to draw these 24-episode arcs out. And I think we talked about this, Bo, last year at the end of Flash, where I said I want to see a half a season, like right. Do a 12-episode arc. The story will flow more. The climax will come during November sweeps. You have a couple of episodes in December to end it, and bam, come back and do something else. They could have easily done this crossover with the four things, leave us on a cliffhanger, have them all go out on their mid-season finale on this, and come back and finish the crossover. Do a 2-week crossover with that cliffhanger, so that you deal with the Arrow 100. I think that was just a scheduling gaff. They were like, "Oh crap, we it's the 100th episode. What do we do here?" You know, I think they messed up. But I could see where they would do something like that in the middle of the season. I mean, it's gutsy, but I mean, it would have given us a little more time to let this breathe and fill itself out. And the episode, the thing you mentioned too about Flash, I mean, they can pull off. Flash has pulled off the episode where there was no action, especially the one Kevin Smith did last year. And that was one of the best episodes of the season, where all he's doing is talking to his dead mom.
But there was action, though. There was girder. There was still, right. And he still showed up as the Flash at the end. So, like,
I completely forgot about girder. Like, yeah. I completely forgot about girder because
I did too.
And yep. All the stuff that Will's talking about, but I completely forgot about girder.
Right. And that's all true. But I'd be like, my favorite superhero stories are the ones where they're literally just sitting in costume or out of costume having a conversation. The character development is so like sometimes like when action shows up, I'm like, yeah, action is cool. But, you know, like I really like story.
You care about the story more.
Yeah, I care about but like I'm not always the norm. I'm definitely not the norm. And I don't think the rest of us are really the norm in that way.
True.
And so you do get kind of put in this like stuck kind of position, and you can't please everybody. And ultimately, what are you supposed to be serving? Are you serving the crossover is the whole season supposed to serve the crossover, or is the crossover supposed to be fun and then serve the rest of the series?
I think to that point, man, that I think you're right, but I would say that I don't know that they defined what they wanted the crossover to be. And we as an audience felt that because it felt it was going in a bunch of different directions. And so I still, you know, it was a great marketing ploy. And maybe at the end of the day, that's what it was. But I think from a story standpoint, like in the end, I was very impressed with Supergirl. you know, if I'm filling out like a little form, am I more likely now to watch an episode of Supergirl having seen this crossover? Yes. Am I more likely now to go back and watch, get caught up on Arrow? No. You know, like there's,
really?
I feel like,
interesting.
Yes, that's true. But I feel like that's the exit polling that they want us to have from once this is all done, is this was just kind of a big marketing deal. And that's always fine as long as the product is good, right? Like Transformers, in-game Transformers, sell those toys.
Sure. Well, right.
Great. But the reason why it has the staying power is because the fantastic characters and stories that we got out of it. So I don't think this crossover has that kind of staying power and being this kind of as iconic as it could have been because the story was disjunct.
Yeah, that's true. But you also just compared an entire series and line of toys to three and a quarter episodes of a television.
No, but I get what he's saying. The idea is the idea of the crossover was really like a business from his business standpoint was let's get all the viewers of these four different shows to mix together and try to get people to watch the shows they wouldn't have watched otherwise.
That's one of the reasons that Justice League was published in 1960 to begin with.
Right. To bring all these characters and get them reading all their books.
Sure.
Right. Exactly. That's what the idea was here. The same way that Transformers was, let's get the kids to buy the toys. You know, I get the point you're making there. And I do agree with you for the most part, Bo. I think that what they did was a very noble thing and a really cool idea, really fun for us as fans. Listen, I enjoyed it. I still enjoyed it. I actually would like to go back and rewatch all four episodes kind of as a movie. Mm-hmm. One of these days, maybe over this winter break, but I think it wasn't everything that it could have been, but I still enjoyed it. It was still a hell of a lot of fun. We still got to see all these characters on one screen at the same time. Like that, I was geeking the hell out every time that happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was great. It was great to see these characters together. It wasn't perfect, but it was still fun. And hopefully they'll do it again in seasons to come. And maybe they'll do an even better job.
Yeah.
Well, I think the legs, and I mean, I help out on the Legends podcast, so this hurts my feelers on the inside, but I have a strange sneaking suspicion we will not see a season three.
I have a feeling you might be right, and that is too bad.
Yeah, and so I mean, I think they're going to replace it next year. I still think they're going to try to do the Legion. I mean, they brought the Dominators. They keep bringing up, like, you know, they showed the ring last year. These little hints.
And Dominators are coming back into Supergirl later in her season. And
are they really?
Yeah. Well, because she talked about how they exist in her universe, and so it would stand to reason that maybe they show, you know, it doesn't have to connect to this crossover, but we're going to, you know, like from CW's perspective, like, look, we spent a hell of a lot of money designing this stuff, like, and then making these CG rendered models. You can best be sure you're going to be seeing the Dominators again.
Yeah. So I could see the crossover next year doing what they did last year, which is the crossover served to launch whatever was next. I have a strange sneaking suspicion that next year's crossover will probably be something similar.
Excuse me. When which show is moving to pair up with another show?
Legends moving to Flash, so you'll get Flash and then Legends on Tuesday night.
So that's in my opinion, that's a strong move because that will actually I will watch that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's very rare that we actually record the same night. And so if I'm done watching Flash, especially right now with the fact that, you know, Eobard's over there, then I'm likely to continue sitting it on. In fact, you know, there's always that like five, you know, not even 5 minutes, more like 2 minutes of whatever the new show is. What is it? Last People on Earth Who Don't Care About Stuff. What's it called?
Last Man on Earth.
No Tomorrow.
No Tomorrow.
That's the one. And so it's like I watch it for 2 seconds and be like, I am not in like the right mode for this. But I coming off of Flash, I'm
you'll
more
be in
like
the right mode for Legends. Yeah,
exactly.
I absolutely agree with that. Like you will finish watching Flash and you're like, I am not in the mood for Jane the Virgin.
Mm. Exactly.
Right. You know,
like,
but
no.
I mean, like, you know, as a dessert, as a mouche bouche. Actually, that's a pre thing. But point being, I'll try it.
Did you just call us mouche bouche?
Isn't that a thing? That's
yes,
a thing.
Yes, it is. A mouche bouche is a thing. You are correct.
All right. Well, there you go.
Bell, I don't know how to take that.
Two things. I think we're going to wrap up, but two things before we do. One, the ending with the Dominators leaving. I don't know if anybody else got this, but it reminded me of War of the Worlds.
Oh,
where it's like
there's
this big invasion and like, oh, we don't know what's going to happen. Everyone's scared. It's like, we got a cold. It's you. Okay, goodbye.
we said that last night.
Yeah. Okay, great. So like, that's a very iconic story. So like, in a way, like, Dominator's being like, okay, goodbye. We're not living up to our name. But you know what? That's not our real name. You called us that. you put that on us. So
we're actually the cutting runners.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We're fight or flight. So we're the flighters.
You gave us ouchies. We're gone.
Yeah. So I actually didn't mind that too much. But we made fun of the Hanger of Justice. But do you think that we're going to see it again in a more renovated type of arena?
Well, yeah. We talked about this on Legends last night, where, you know, so Legends got a huge rating boost.
I was at work today. I can't keep listening to you guys. Jeez.
That's how most people feel about the television show. So the podcast makes sense.
Wow.
I'll give you that one. But yeah, Legends got a huge rating boost from the crossover, which is nice. But you know, we had talked about how
we all did actually it was across the board.
Yeah. Every show got a huge ratings boost, and so. But we were talking about how Legends, you know, if it doesn't survive, one thing that could happen that would be interesting is if at the end of this season they kind of pivot and they send a new team that no one cares about to manage time, and we have the Legends come and renovate the Hall of Justice, and we have like a Justice League or Justice Society show instead of Legends, and if we're not going to get a season three,
I could see them doing Infinity and call it Infinity Incorporated. They don't want to do Titans because they may do that on TNT still, I guess. So I could see them doing something like Infinity Inc., which because they have a Justice Society member. I was thinking about that earlier.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's something that I would like to see.
I would like to see whatever they want to make. Honestly, I think despite individual problems that we might all have some more than others or anything like that, I think ultimately at the end of the day, we're like, yeah, you guys are doing a great job. Give me more, you know?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Remember I still want Green Lantern. I still want Green Lantern. I'm a Green Lantern guy.
This is slightly unrelated, but I actually saw recently that Geoff Johns just started following Army Hammer on Twitter. And the last time Jeff did that, it was for Joe Manganiello and Orange and the Bananas.
Manganiello.
Thank you. and we know he's playing Deathstroke in Justice League. So the rumor is that Army Hammer is somebody, maybe Green Lantern, but that's interesting. So if you're looking for Green Lantern, there
better
you go.
Casting. That's better casting.
Maybe Shovel would have been better, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they could go Jon Stewart on the TV show very easily.
I would love Jon Stewart.
But everybody keeps forgetting. Jon Stewart is confirmed for the Green Lantern movie.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Oh, is he? Okay.
He quit television. Trevor Noah is doing it now. And I got to tell you, Trevor Noah would actually
get out of here.
Okay, very good.
I'm glad you made that joke.
My ex-wife's text tone, by the way.
All right. I think on that note,
I want to get just going around. We'll go backwards through the podcast. I want to, out of 5 stars, how would you do this? How would you rate this crossover? Going backwards, the individual people. So, Will, that would be you.
Okay, out of 5, you said.
Out of 5,
I'm gonna give it a 4. Solid 4.
Solid 4, Matt.
Yeah, based on Flash.
Yep.
I'm gonna agree. I think it's a 4. Like, I had fun. My expectations were exactly met. I thought it was great. 4.
Bo?
I'm going to give it a 2. There's a lot of great character stories that were wrapped up, which I was really happy to see. I felt like some of the characters did not, they acted out of character. It was jumbled. I loved seeing the Hall of Justice. I loved the Flash episode. I loved seeing Supergirl in our universe. But the rest of it was pretty rough. So 2.
Okay. Frank?
Well, the whole crossover, I'll give it a 4. I'll give it a 4.
Sounds like a soft 4, but giving it a 4.
A soft 4, but a 4 nonetheless.
Yeah, soft star. The very scientific soft stars.
Yeah.
You know, they're like...
It's a star, it's about to burn out.
It's like dwarf stars, but not quite. It's a soft star.
Yeah,
it's exactly. A little soft star.
A brown dwarf. Yeah.
A brown dwarf, exactly.
They can't quite use... hydrogen, but they rain iron.
I
can't quite power an atom suit on it, but you know what? It's okay.
It's what happens inside the atom. Never mind.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a hard star 4. I really liked it despite some of its flaws. I think I give things credit for maybe like working within the boundaries of everything that we can work with. Things that we know and not like we're a bunch of people talking like, in a room, like, we've never been on, you know, we have not made one of these shows ourselves. You know what I mean? So sometimes we say things and we're like, maybe it's like this, maybe it's not. Who's to say? But you know what? I got some of my favorite characters together on screen. And at the end of the day, nobody killed somebody. So okie dokie, you know.
Well, also
nobody snapped anybody's necks. Oh. Great.
As the person who gave the harshest of the criticism, let me say this. Like, yeah, no, you're exactly right. And I mean, I will say this. I've never made a TV show, but I do know that whenever you're putting out anything creative, you put it out there and people, you know, they're gonna take it however they are. And
part
of our job to some extent, or at least self-proclaimed job, so to speak, is we are commentators, right? We are content creators around this content. So we create commentary around it and we look at it with an analytical eye. And yes, that means I think it is definitely fair to hold things to a high standard when we believe that high standard can and should be achieved. And, like I said, when I said net fail, I already know we're going to get some negative feedback on that. So
You're going to get negative feedback.
Why do you think I did the star rating?
Very good. No, but I already know the negative feedback's coming. So let me walk that back one more time. That was too harsh. That's not necessarily what I meant. This is more for me. I felt like it was very bold. I kind of stumbled, but I want to see him do it again. The visuals were incredible, but maybe a stronger story and use the time that they have. That's what I want to see.
Yeah,
so
that's my main thing. Use the time better.
I'll say this too. Inside the chat room, KML, he also gave it a 4.
Yes. So. Thank you, KML.
All right.
I'm glad you're also in the House of L.
All right, guys. Listen, this has been an absolute blast. Why don't we go around the horn here and why don't you guys tell us about your shows. Will and Bell, why don't you tell us where people can find Legends TV Talk?
Okay, you can find us Legends TV Talk. You can find us on Facebook under facebook.com/Legends TV Talk. Email show@LegendsTVTalk.com. And we are all on the Twitters. I'm at WR Benson.
I'm at Ring That Bell, spelled B-E-A-L-L.
And our third co-host, Kyle Krause, 89.
All right. And where can we find Flash TV Talk?
So you can tweet us at Flash TV Talk. You can also email the show. That's flash@podastery.com. That's podastery.com. And facebook.com/Flash TV Talk.
You also check out Panel to Screen, which is a podcast that we do whenever there is a major comic book geeky movie. It's not like a weekly show or anything like that. It is strictly movie reviews. You go back, you find some great movie reviews in there. You also find some rose-colored retrospectives where we take some universally panned movies and we look at how they got right and what is commonly overlooked. So check that out. If that seems your thing, paneltoscreen.com is where you can find that. I'm at The Real Bo York on Twitter. Bell already mentioned all the other stuff for Flash TV Talk. I would also encourage you to check out our webcomic that Bell and I do called The Brogues at thebrogues.com, where right now we have got an awesome alternate timeline reality thing going on in a story that we call Fast Point. It's exactly what it sounds like.
So such an original thought.
Yeah, we don't want to get sued. Okay,
it's a differentiated Fast Point. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's on. It takes place on Earth 2 TOO.
Exactly.
Oh. Earth also.
Yeah.
Love it. And of course, be sure to check out podastereostudios.com for a nice wrap up of all those shows. Tim, why don't you tell people where they can find Beer with Geeks?
You can find Frank and myself on Beer with Geeks. At beerwithgeeks.com, at gmail.com, Twitter and Facebook, Beer with Geeks. You can rate and review us on iTunes and all other places like Satchel and Overcast and Google Play and all other places that podcasts can be found. You can find Frank at Frank Ramblings on Twitter, and you can find myself at Timp_Gannon, G-A-N-N-O-N. Yes, I know my last name is the bad guy from Zelda. It is not spelled the same. I am aware. I'm used to it. He's who I play in Smash Brothers. It's all fine.
Story of your life.
It is indeed. I do like to rescue princesses from castles. That is the story of my life.
Fun fact.
Yep. Where can people find us on Supergirl TV Talk?
SupergirlTVTalk.com. You can find Supergirl TV Talk at gmail.com, at TV Supergirl on Twitter. Of course, rate and review us on iTunes. Rate and review all these shows on iTunes, please, and help us all out. Help spread the wealth and help get the word out about more shows and help us out that way. And of course, thoughtbubbleaudio.com for Supergirl TV Talk, for Beer with Geeks, and for Marketers Next Door, my other podcast about social media. That I think wraps it up. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This was so much fun.
Thank you for having me.
This
so
is much. Last man. Thank you so much. We got
to great.
It's got to take more than the universe falling apart and aliens invading for us to get together.
Yeah, we got to stop meeting like this.
Well, Flash TV Talk. We have another crossover, a smaller crossover coming up. The musical episode.
Do we?
Yeah. So let's not forget sometimes it is good old fashioned musical theater to bring us together, as kind of it was before we started recording. Yeah.
So what you're telling me is we'll be back. Wait and see.
Oh, dear
God. You'll remember how you listened to me sing this song on the show with Will Bell. Tim, Frank, and Bo, come in close. Don't you leave without leaving those review woes. That was a rhyme that really fell flat. And if
like
you
like your
know,
voice,
probably should have cut him off sooner.
Maybe we will in post.
Oh, just fade out. Just that'd be good.
Yeah. The outro music.
Oh man! All right. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. We will catch you another time. But until then,
cheers.
Up, up, and away.
Yeah, we'll be back in a flash.
You stay classy, multiverse.
Hi, mom.
That's staying in.